More grace to everybody. How delighted I am to be on with you today. God is faithful. How about that? Let's try that again. God is faithful. One more time. I'm going to say that with confidence. God is faithful. I was just so pleased to know, and I'm always grateful when the Spirit of God begins to deal with me. What is man? That thou art even mindful of him, and even the Son of Man that thou visitest him. So I never take it for granted. When the Spirit of God begins to share with me revelation, insight, things to help me in my future and let me go to my next level, I don't take those things for granted at all, because he doesn't have to. And one thing that I'm learning about God is that it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. And what? The sheep of his pasture. So I'm just falling deeper and deeper and deeper in love with him as he reveals himself to me on a day-to-day basis. Everything that I am because of him. Are you listening to me? Let's try that again. I said everything that I am because of him. I don't think that now. I said everything that I am because of him. So, with that being said, it's not a teaching, but you know, it is our belief that when we come in the presence of a prophet, of a man of God, we know that we sow immediately. It is our custom, it is our tradition, that every time we come in the presence of a man of God, we sow our seed. So I'm challenging everybody right now to sow your $20 seed at $PBCJR. You're in the presence of a prophet, and this is how we start. What shall we bring the prophet? That he may tell us our way. I believe I have a word straight from God that's going to bless you and encourage you in so many ways. Maybe a bit challenging word, maybe a tough word, but I believe it's going to help us for what God's getting ready to take us. I want to go ahead and challenge everybody right now. That's right. I want to go ahead and challenge everybody to sow your $20 seed at $PBCJR. $PBCJR. We're sowing that $20 seed to the man of God in faith. Praise God, because we understand that the man of God has the power in his mouth to speak and decree a thing, and it shall be established. You know, there's rank in the spirit. It seems to be that everybody understands it, but the church. Demons understand it. Angels understand it. You know, when God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, he placed two cherubim there. When King Uzzah tried to touch the Ark of the Covenant, he stopped it with a cherubim. They know their roles. Now, he didn't put Gabriel there, because Gabriel is not a cherub. Gabriel is a messenger. So he didn't place Gabriel there, because Gabriel is a messenger and probably would have let everybody in the garden. It seems to be everybody no role but the church. Sinners seem to understand government. Demons even understand authority. Came in the presence of Jesus, and as soon as Jesus came, why come torment us before our, what, time? So I want you to understand that in a very powerful way. Demons understand rank. Angels understand rank. Even God understands rank on the earth. And know that he gave man dominion over the earth and would do nothing on earth without human invitation. Even God understands rank. God has set forth in the church, firstly, apostles, secondarily, prophets, that's 1 Corinthians 12:28, thirdly, teachers. They understand rank. There's rank in the spirit. And a lot of people don't understand that. Amen. There were several apostles, but all of them wasn't ahead. The devil understood who to go after. in the book of Acts. They wanted to vex the church. Who did they kill? James. Why? He was the head. Who did they come after next? Peter, the next head. The devil understands rank, and if I had time, I would talk to you. I don't have time to get into this today. But I want to say something to everybody on here who is a firstborn. And I don't just mean firstborn as firstborn child, because the firstborn child alone has certain attacks. But if you are first at anything in your family, the first to start a business, the first to get saved, the firstborn child, there's an inheritance on your life. And because of that, that's why you are attacked more than anybody in your family. If you're the first person to do well in business, the first person to get a doctorate degree, the first to go to college, the first to give your life to the Lord and sell out, the first, whatever it is, if you are the first of anything in your family, you must understand. And I just felt led to say that to somebody. And I know the Holy Ghost is talking to me when I say what I just said. That's why you are attacked the way you are, because you are a first. Okay? So, now again, that's not my message. That's not what I'm dealing with. That's not what I'm addressing. But I felt led to tell you, the devil understands rank. He comes after the first. Come on here. My mother is the first to be saved among seven. Okay? So guess what that did? That put her wounds under attack because she was the first. Okay, you understand? I'm her first firstborn son. I am the first one to reach certain plateaus. My father, grandfather did well in sports, but never made it international. I broke through the local and went national and international. So guess what? Because I was first in all of those things, I'm under heavy attack. And some of you need to understand the reason you're under the attack that you are under is because you may be the first one to come into a revelation of certain things. You know, God's been dealing with this, so I don't have time to get into that. That's one thing. But something else, I think we need to understand that if you are the first one in your family to come into the revelation of grace, it's going to bring you under attack. God has always had a problem with mixture. And this is something that we're not understanding. And I really wish I would get from under the law and really get a revelation of grace and how much God loves us. Because let me tell you something. It's powerful. Do you remember when God said he did not want an orange planted in the same field as a grape, or he didn't want an apple planted in the same field as a watermelon, or a garlic in the same field, you know, as a pepper? You know why? Because he hated mixture. You're going to like this, Pastor Butler, but all of this was precursors to him not wanting the mixture of law and grace. I hope y'all get what I'm saying. The reason he did not want the woman to be with another man after she'd been with her first husband and she had to be with her husband's brother because same DNA, no mixture in the womb, all of these were shadows. And he was showing us that it's going to be an issue. And the problem with the New Covenant Church now is we're trying to mix law and grace. It's nothing new. Grace ain't nothing new. Noah found it. I hope y'all get what I'm saying. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. I've already preached two sermons. First sermon is on the power of the firstborn, the power of the first. Why are you under attack? Amen. You're the first person. And the second one on, the enemy wants you mixture. And that's why he wants mixture in your life. Because he knows that God doesn't mix in environments of mixture. He's holy. And some of us, we say we want God's grace, but you want God's grace with a mixture of yourself, a mixture of your ability, a mixture of how good you are, how righteous you are, how wonderful you are. And I'm not just preaching, I'm preaching at me, because I do it sometimes. I vacillate in between. And God said, you can't be lukewarm in this thing. Come on here. He said, you're either going to be hot or cold. I don't do mixture. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen and ain't getting no amen, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Now let's go to what I feel like the Spirit of God has me to challenge you on. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, what the Spirit of God dealt with me about today in my study time. And I pray to God that you all are getting the things that I'm teaching, because I have an assignment from God to help you get to another place. And see, a lot of us miss it, you know. A lot of us are full of pride, but God told me today, God told me today, he said, I had the greatest flaws in the most flawed vessels so that the unqualified can't find them. Good God from on high. Y'all didn't get that. I promise you, you didn't get that. And there's a preacher who just heard what I said who's running around his living room right now. Because what I just said is a loaded statement. God said that to me. He said, I had the greatest flaws in the most flawed vessels, so that the unqualified can't find it. God don't want you to get this by arrogance and pride. I hide it from the pride, and I give it to the weak. And the only way I can do that sometimes is putting it in a vessel that you would expect it to come from. And I put it in an earthen vessel that had flaws so that the people who don't think it will come through that vessel miss it. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. It's okay. I'm going to preach it anyway. Amen. I feel the anointing so strong, I'm hot. And I ain't even got started yet. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I want to take a minute and read this, and I don't want you all to rush me, but I have an assignment because I want to see the people of God bless. And I don't mean, I'm not joking about that. Like, it is my desire to see God's people bless. Amen. I want to see you have everything that God said you're supposed to have. I ain't talking about no, I know one preacher, I heard, as a matter of fact, I heard a preacher say yesterday, I have life, health, and strength in a reasonable portion. I don't want you to have it in a reasonable portion. Amen. I want you to have everything that God has for you. I want you to receive everything that God has for you. That's my desire. I want every person on this call to not live beneath your privileges. Praise God. Because God wants you to have the best, live in the best, wear the best, drive the best. All right? But God wants it done the right way. And it's moments like these that we are tested. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Now, that's a wonderful scripture that we use a lot of time. But I want us to get it in its context, so we can really get the gist of what the Lord is saying. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. Now, he was also saying to his disciples, And I want to say this to everybody under the sound of my voice, and I'm saying this for sure to the members to whom I pastor. I want every one of you in the next couple of days. Robert Kahn, what you want for my birth? What you want for your birthday? I want the members of KCC to get a Bible and bring it to church so you can put your phones up while I'm preaching. How about that? You sit in, and don't get, I'm gonna hit on it in a minute. The Lord's going to allow me to hit on it. I want you to get a Bible, praise God, when you come in the sanctuary. I remember when I was young, we used to have Bible and Bible cases. Man, I was glad about my little Bible case and my Bible and my notebook in it so I could take notes. I wanted to get a Bible, the Word of God. Get a Bible, the Scriptures. That's what I want you to get for my birth. And I want us to come to church with a Bible so that you can mark it all up with highlighters and pencils and all that kind of stuff so we can be taught. Jesus sat down and taught the people. Over in China right now, they get the Bible and tear pages of it out. And the reason they tear pages of the Bible out is so they can what? Memorize it. They don't have Bibles. They only get one Bible per underground church. So guess what they have to do? Tear out the pages of the Bible. So let's get a Bible. Are y'all hearing me? I'm very serious on what I'm saying. Let's get a Bible. Amen. Get a King James. That's fine. King James. You know, you that go to the churches that I pastor, you know, that I put on the screen if I'm doing a different version, NIV, Amplified, New Living. But just get a good King James Bible. Stop bringing your Bible to church. Your Bible. Amen. With that being said, Luke chapter 16, verse 1. And right now, I'm going to read it. This is the NASB. Now he was also saying to the disciples, Luke 16, verse 1, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. And his steward was reported to him as squandering his possession. Now, you all know what a steward is. A steward is someone who oversees the property of somebody else. He heard that his steward was squandering his possession. So this story is about a steward and how he's handled money. Verse 2, he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward. The steward said to himself, what shall I do? Since my master is taking the stewardship away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. And it really means he didn't want to dig. He was lazy. Verse 4, I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they will receive me into their homes. And he summons each one of his master's debtors and begins saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill. Sit down quickly, write 50. Then he said to another, 100 measures of wheat. He said, take your bill, write 80. Now, you see what he did. He found out that he was getting ready to lose his position because he's been stealing. He's been mismanaging someone else's money. When he gets to verse 6, he said, what I'm going to do, if before my master gets to them, I'm going to get to them first, and I'm going to work a deal with them so that whatever happens with my master when he gets rid of them, they're going to owe me and have to take me in. Verse 8, his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly, for the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. How would he praise him? Why would he praise him for what he did? The reason he praised him for what he did is because he understood, finally, that money should be used for the future. And that's some of y'all's problem now, why you don't have no money, because you want everything now. You want the bag now. You want the car now. You want the purse now. You want to live a certain life now, that you're not in a place to live, that you should be investing that money to prepare for your future. I was telling somebody the other day, and of course this is no slight at anybody who's black, white, orange, or yellow, but it's only in the African-American community that you think when you get to a certain age, you got to sit down and somebody got to take care of you. But look at other races. Look at the white race. They are 70, 80 years old, and they're not sitting down. They're running for president. Senator Mitch McConnell is 81 years old, and he's head over the House. He's head over the House for the Republican. He's the majority leader for the Republican Party. Dianne Feinstein over there in California, 80-some years old, won't sit down. Donald Trump, all these people, President Biden, they're 79, 80, 81. We think that when we get to a certain age, it's too late. You've got to change the way you're thinking. Are y'all listening to me today? You can't confess that you're going to have a long life and then live life like it's going to be short. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Are you listening to me? So he applauded him and said to him, great job. Great job. You finally used your money for the future. Verse 9. And I say unto you, make friends for yourself by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwelling. Verse 10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he is unrighteous in very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Now, the question there is the steward faithful? Was he faithful? The answer to that is no. And I want you to see in this text, I said it before, I learned this part from Brother Wyman, that the part that was least here is money. And Jesus said, if you are faithful with the least, you will be faithful with the much. Now, a lot of people use this for the principle of if you be faithful with 10 members, God will give you 100 members. If you be faithful with your one little card, God will give you 10 cards. And all that sounds good. But if we keep it in its context, the text is saying he who is faithful with money, because that's the least. Verse 10, he who is faithful in a very little thing, he which is faithful in least. God is saying if you can be faithful with money, which is the least area that you should have to use your faith in, I can trust you with much. Healing, deliverance, breakthrough, the miraculous, relationship. According to this, the least is money, because he's showing us that the steward could not be trusted with money. And some of you on this phone are wondering why you don't have, and you make statements like, if I made more, I would give more. And God is saying, if you can't give where you are, you're not going to give when you have more. Because God measures you by what you do with the least, which is money. If you're not faithful with money, you're not going to be faithful in a marriage. If you're not faithful with money, you're not going to be faithful in greater things. The question you need to ask yourself is, can I be trusted with money? And I'm not talking about in reference to you. Can God trust you with money? Because remember, God is the one who's over the money you got from your job. You're just the steward. And can God trust you to do what he tells you to do with the money that you got in your hand? The money in your account right now, the money in your savings, the money you got tucked away somewhere. You are the steward. It's not your money. You are the steward. Now, can God trust you to do whatever he tells you to do with that money? And if right now you're feeling uncomfortable when I talk about money, you're right where I want you. Because if you are, you see the power that that money has. And there's a spirit connected to money, and it's greed. And it needs servants.
Look at verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, money, who will entrust the true riches unto you? If you've not been faithful, trustworthy is that word basically in the Greek. If God can't trust you with money, to handle money, because you got to understand, y'all, it takes trust to be healed. It takes trust to be delivered. Trust is the currency in the kingdom. Money can't buy favor. Money can't buy healing. Money can't buy deliverance. But trust can, because in the kingdom, the currency is trust, faith. But the way you prove what you trust is by what you do with the least, which is what? Money. It's very simple. If you can't lift 5 pounds, you can't lift 500 pounds. Now, that word mammon there, he's dealing with riches. He's dealing with money. But he's dealing with a spirit that's connected to it. He's dealing with greed. And if you can't be faithful and hold on to the money he's giving you, why would he give you more? Verse 12. And if you've not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who would give you that which is your own? Verse 13. No man, no servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God said, you can't serve me and money. Now, it's the spirit, y'all. Now, you can serve God or mammon, but you can't do both. One of them is going to be a master. And there's some of you, your master is God, and there are others of you, your master is greed. And you better listen to me, because I keep telling y'all, there's a spirit that is attached to money. And either God is going to direct you when that money comes in your hand, or the spirit of greed is going to direct you. I can put $100 on the ground right now, and that $100 won't hurt nobody. That $100 won't destroy nobody. It's neutral. Has no power on the ground. That's a neutral $100 bill. It is fine. But what that $100 does in the hands of a righteous person and in the hands of an unrighteous person is completely different. It goes in two completely different directions. And if that money is governed by greed, it's going to tell you what to do with it. But if it's governed by God, he's going to tell you what to do with it. Because you may pick up that $100 that you find off the ground, and the spirit of greed will make you put it in your pocket. But the spirit of God will make you give it away. I pray to God you are listening to what I'm saying. Greed will tell you to keep it, but God will tell you to give it. So a question you need to ask yourself, what spirit governs me when it comes to money? And I told you all, God told me to teach on money for these next couple of weeks, and I'm not going to stop. I don't care who don't like it. If you're uncomfortable, it's because I'm coming after your God. If you don't like what I'm saying, it's because I'm coming after your God. The spirit of greed is under attack. Christ said you can't serve both. He said either you're going to hate one or you're going to love the other. Now, you have a choice. By default, if you don't choose God, you have chosen greed. And if you've chosen greed, you've rejected God. But you can't have both. Greed say, I don't need God. Greed say, I'm self-sufficient. I pay my own bills. Greed says, trust in your money, not God. And I'm trying to tell y'all, there's no middle ground with this spirit. You can't serve both of them. Because greed got rules. And the rules of greed are the complete opposite of what God says. Greed says buy and keep. God says sow and reap. I'm talking about the spirit of greed, church. Greed says cheat and steal. God says give and receive. That spirit of greed is so powerful. Have you doing stuff that you know is wrong just to get money? And it's because greed has governed your life. You doing things with your money. Greed. You'll go play the scratch off. You'll go play lotto and take a chance on that, but won't give to the kingdom of God because you're ruled by the spirit of greed. You'll invest in everything but the kingdom. And you know why you do it? Because greed is your God and greed has servants. No man can serve. Y'all got that? You become a servant of the spirit of greed, and greed is governing your life. It wants to rule your life, and it wants to take God's place. The spirit of greed is looking for a church. The spirit of greed is looking for a man, is looking for a woman. Anybody that has an unhealthy relationship with material, the spirit of greed will do it. You say you moved to a city for a church. You'll say God assigned you to a church. You'll say this is where I'm supposed to be. But the spirit of greed will have you miss church so you can go to your job. And know you should be in the household of faith. But because the spirit of greed has overtaken you and you are self-sufficient so you can pay your own bills, you go to the highest bidder. Forget God, I'll take the money. You will say, I'm assigned to this ministry. God told me to move to Jacksonville. God told me to move to Georgia. God told me to move to Tennessee. God told me to move. You will say that God assigned you somewhere. Oh, I'm assigned at KCC. And the minute a job opportunity comes with money, you will leave where God assigned you and go where the money is. The same person that was faithful every time the doors of the church opened. Now you are missing church because of a job, because the spirit of greed is overtaking you. When you didn't have it, every time the doors of the church were open, you were there. You were there for prayer. You were there for church. You were on time. You were committed. You were not late. You didn't have a car. You were faithful. But now, because the spirit of greed has snuck in your life, that money, that job, that career done came, and now greed got a servant. And you're calling it the blessing, but you don't even recognize that you have yielded to the spirit of greed in your life. Got you missing church. Got you out of prayer. Can't fast. Can't spend time with God. Your pastor called you to do something. You can't do it because you had a job because of the spirit of greed. Greed, when you got it, is not enough money. You don't have it, you'll exploit, you'll do anything for it. And the whole job of the spirit of greed is to separate you from the will of God. Nobody is shouting. Nobody is preaching. Nobody is saying amen to me. But let me tell y'all something. I'm preaching better. And y'all saying amen, because I know what I'm saying is right. I know what I'm saying is right. The spirit of greed. Spirit of greed. Oh, I'm assigned. This is where I'm supposed to be. God sent me here. And you missing, the voice of God for your life. I can go to church. I can listen to church online. Forsake not. Are y'all listening to me? Greed. And it's always going to keep you working. Always keep you struggling. Always keep you trying to make it. Almighty dollar. Are y'all listening to me? Y'all excuse me because I feel it's, I think I'm feeling the heart of God concerning this matter. I'm a little grieved because I see people who used to be so focused, and now they are a million miles away, all about that dollar. I pray to God that you all are hearing what I'm saying to you all tonight. I'm going to read something to you that I read. The greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. It's not the X-rated video, but the primetime dribble of triviality we drink in every night. For all the ill that Satan can do, when God describes what keeps us from the banquet table of his love, it is a piece of land, a yoke of oxen, and a wife. Luke 14:18-20, when Jesus told them people to come and do what he said. Notice what all of them, his problem was. Land, yoke of oxen, and a wife. The greatest adversary of love to God is not his enemies, but his gifts. And the most deadly appetites are not for the poison of evil, but for the simple pleasures of earth. For when these replace an appetite for God himself, the idolatry is scarcely recognizable and almost incurable. Jesus said there's a group that hear the word of God, and a desire for God is awakened in their hearts. But he said when they leave, they are choked away by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. He said, your desire for other things is what enter in and choke the word and makes it unfruitful. The pleasures of life, the desire for other things, they are not evil. They're not vices. They're actually gifts of God. It's your meat and potatoes, coffee and gardening and reading and decorating and traveling and investing and TV watching and internet surfing and shopping and exercising and collecting and talking. All of those things can become deadly substitutes for God. I like to watch TV. I like to go shopping. I like to draw. I like to exercise. Those are all gifts from God, but they become deadly substitutes. And you're doing all of this stuff because you're greedy. Job, working. 9 to 5, 8 hours, overwhelmed, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. I'm almost done. Please hear me in the Holy Ghost. Honor the Lord from your wealth. This is what the NASB says. And from the first of all your produce. Honor. That word in the Hebrew means to carry weight. Weigh in. When the Bible says honor your mom and dad, it's basically saying they carry weight. When you honor your mom and dad and you sit down with your mom and dad, and your mom says, you sit down and say, Mom or Dad, should I marry this guy? Should I marry this woman? And mom and dad say, we prayed about it, and we don't think it's God's will for your life. And then you go ask a friend. And the friend says, well, I think it is God. Whosever word you go with is the person who carries the most weight. Who weighs in heavier? God said in Proverbs 3, honor me with your substance. I ought to weigh in heavier than your bills. I ought to weigh in heavier than your pleasures. Your finances should address me first. You don't pay all your bills and do everything you got to do and then give me the leftovers. Some of you are faithful at giving 10, but you still haven't honored because he might have wanted 40 this month. But you get set in a pattern. And that's why in the new covenant, he don't want you to mix it. This new covenant is a spirit-led life. God gets first place. Not last. The minute you put something in the place of him, it becomes idolatry. And what greed does is after you make a confession that this is where I'm assigned, this is where I'm supposed to be, then here comes greed with another opportunity that's more appealing, and you move. I'm going over here because they respect my gift and they honor me. And they're willing to pay me. And you're calling it a blessing, not knowing that the spirit of greed has seduced you. And you honor that spirit more than you honor God. I'm telling you, everything that looks like the blessing, everything that looks like God, is not God. A lot of this stuff is a seduction. He said, when you honor him with the first fruit of your increase. Verse 10, Proverbs 3 and 10, your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with oil. God always wants to do better than the spirit of greed, but you don't remain long enough to see the manifestation of it. And that's why he said, if you can be faithful with the little, can you stay faithful long enough? You listening to me? David was anointed, sheep anointed to be king. But as soon as he got done, he went back to serving his father. Your anointing is at the place of your last instruction. What is the last thing God told you to do? Here you are doing all this new stuff and haven't even finished what he told you. If you keep God first, if you stay faithful, stay committed, keep serving, God gonna blow your mind. I was so blessed. I'm not saying this to froth on nobody, but I look at Deacon Bradley at the church in Charlotte. God has blessed him, and I'm only saying it because he said it. God has blessed him. I mean, God has blessed him. He comes to me and say, Pastor, God blessing me. I walked up to him the other day. Thank you, brother. I said, Deacon Bradley, you still blessed? He said, yeah. I said, all people got to do is believe the word. He said, and listen to their pastor. He said, God said he gave them to him. Now, why am I talking about him? Because even though he's busy, got jobs, contracts, money, I can't call him and he's not available. He has a wife. He has children. And he was cutting my grass today. Anything I need him to do at the church, there. We got ready to get ready for convocation. And I'm doing this because the Lord told me to honor it. We got ready to do something for convocation. I said, I heard you make grills. He said, yes, sir. I said, how long will it take? He said, Pastor, that'll take about 4 weeks. Oh, I said, don't worry about it. We'll buy one. A grill was done by convocation that he made. Because he honors the Lord with the first. Some of y'all get these jobs and miss church. Don't do what your pastor tell you to do. You're not committed to what God has assigned you to be. You show up late. He's not first. Greed got you chasing that job. Greed got you faithful, going to get money here, hustling. Greed. You'll miss church, but won't miss that job. Won't feel well, and will go to work. But won't feel well, and will miss church. You know why? Because greed is your God. And greed wants you to love money. 1 Timothy 6:10. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Lord, set us free from the spirit of greed. Lord, set me free from the spirit of greed. Anywhere in my life where the spirit of greed is in operation, Lord, deliver me. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root to all kind of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many sorrows. I use Brother Bradley because he's a person who has gotten money and has remained faithful. I'm just using his most recent. There are others, but I'm just using him because he's one of the brothers in the church. Don't miss. Greed comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What sacrifices are you willing to make? I'm telling you all how to tap into the blessing of God. Greed never has a good ending. People are dying over greed. People are abused over greed. You cannot trust money more than you trust God. You cannot have a wrong relationship with money. You can't. Even the money you got, say, in God we trust. You're not supposed to be trusting in no creation. But right now, when I get ready to receive an offering in a minute, guess what the spirit of greed is going to say? Guess what poverty is going to say? Oh, he's trying to take from you. That's fine. Stay there with your poor self. Entitlement is motivated by greed. I can look at areas in your life where you're off, and I can show you where somewhere that evil in your life is connected to a bad relationship with money. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't need to ask you nothing about you to know your heart. All I need is your bank statement, your checkbook. And I'll see, have you given more to your rent, to your car, to your insurance, to your health, than you've given God? See, some of you say, I don't buy stuff. Stuff ain't your idol. You are. Clothes ain't your idol. You the idol. So you got to have insurance, and you got to have this, and I got to have somewhere for me to stay, and I got to have this, because your comfort is an idol. And I can prove it if I look at your checkbook. Your future is an idol. Married folk that they don't even love. Don't care nothing about the man. Just want money. All being ruled by greed. I'm telling you, the spirit of greed is a powerful spirit. And God dealt with me very strong about that thing today. Because so many people in the church, in the body of Christ, don't even recognize when a harvest comes. God said that to me today. He said the reason some people are broke is because they don't know when a harvest comes. He said they don't know that their harvest is an opportunity to build credibility. The following instruction. Instruction is an opportunity. Is an investment in the trustworthiness. But you can't be faithful with least money. And if you can't trust God with money, you will not be trusted with healing. The whole kingdom is built on trust. I know this is very hard because we live in a money system. We live in a system that is controlled by greed. Almighty dollar. Homes are destroyed because of money. Churches are destroyed because of money. Friendships are destroyed because of money. Word of God is disobeyed because of money. Relationships with God, prayer life, all are destroyed over the dollar. I'm assigned to you. This is where I'm supposed to be. And then somebody offers them money, and guess where they go? Right to the dollar, because they are sanctified whores. Going to the highest bidder, walking the Pentecostal block. Because it's all about that dollar, and nobody wants to put God first. I will not be bound by the spirit of greed. Now, I don't care if you're offended by what I'm saying. If you're missing church, your church, you're not committed, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You know why? You're showing up to church late. No standard. Come on here. Because it's an idol for you. These jobs are idols. Seek ye first the kingdom. I'm telling you, we don't make stands for God. Muslims do. I know a lady who's a Seventh-day Adventist, wanted her to work on a Saturday. She said, I don't work on Saturdays, and I don't serve pork. She'd been there 30 years, made a stand. You're concerned about what people think of you. You need your job because you want your money. And you broke, got the job, and still ain't got nothing because you serve greed. Let this word find you today. We're going to give right now. Not to me, giving to the household of faith. You've already sold to the prophet. I told you God's been challenging me to tell everybody to sow online. But you're going to give tonight. You know why? Because you don't serve money. And some of you on this phone, you know good and well that this word is found in you. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can shout and dance and scream and holler and fall out all you want to. Let me see your checkbook. Let me see your calendar. And I'll know what you love. Spend thousands on clothes, thousands on yourself, and feel like, well, I gave God his. But are you in a position to hear him say, yes? That's what the Lord said to me about Brother Bradley when I spoke to him today. He whispered in my ear. I mean, God whispered in my ear. Wasn't hard, no effort. He didn't say it's strong. All he did was whisper in my ear about Deacon Bradley and said, he never tells you no. The blessing of God is going to overtake him and has been. Because the posture of his heart, he understands it. He gets it. He gets it. And again, there's several others of you. But we serve them jobs and we serve that money. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for every person. But again, I'm talking about Deacon Brett. But let me tell you something right now. If you're getting offended by me honoring him, that's a spirit of greed. Because it's entitlement. Got you feeling like you should be owed some praise. That's a spirit of greed. Father, I thank you for every person on this line. And I thank you for the increase that's about to hit the lives of these people. Because they're going to be free from the spirit of greed. Because whenever you speak to them and tell them to do something, they're going to do it. They ain't competing with you. You're going to go to the website today, briancarn.com, briancarn.org. There are 300 of you going to give $100. There are 20 of you going to give $500. There are 10 of you going to give $1,000. Now, if you think it's a game and you think it's a gimmick, let the spirit of greed, mammon, whatever you call it, let it continue to keep you where you are. But I'm telling you what I know by the spirit. God is your source. I'm so challenged in this season like never before. I'm so challenged in this season. And I'm trusting God. Some of you, your praise is contingent upon your money. The minute you get bad report, you see an eviction notice on your door, you panic because you are greedy. You got the peace of God. You're saved. Life does not consist in the abundance of things that a man possesses. But where your treasure is, don't listen to what I'm telling you. There's freedom today. You get offended by what I'm preaching? Too bad. I know what I'm saying. Came direct from God. I feel the anointing. My job got me doing this. You giving God leftovers now. That's fine. Go ahead. See where it leads you. BrianCarn.com, BrianCarn.org. There are 300 people going to the website now to sow $100 seed. There are 30 of you giving $500. There's 10 of you giving $1,000. Now, again, why am I doing this, Father Khan? Because I want to show the enemy that money don't rule me. So I'm sowing. No matter what, I want the devil to know that money is not my God, greed is not my God, and I need every dime I got. I need that 100. I need this 500, and I need this 1,000. But guess what? God gonna get here. I will not be ruled by money. No. You're gonna have generational wealth. Wealth is when you build for others. You can't do that selfish. It takes sacrifice on your end. You are a steward over that money you got. And you're supposed to be leaving an inheritance for your children's children. Are y'all listening to me? You are faithful until something happens that you don't like. Then you're not faithful no more. You're not committed because you are controlled by greed. Your motive is wrong. Some of you are mailing it. There's somebody on this call. You're going to give $10,000. There's somebody on this call right now. You're going to give $10,000. I know y'all think Prophet Carr is a nutcase. Now, I want you to saw it on the website. And I told you that. BrianCarr.com, BrianCarr.org. Saw it on the website. You've already sold to the man of God. BrianCarr.com, BrianCarr.org. Sow it there. Because the Bible said that when it hits the altar, the sanctuary, the house of God, it sanctifies that seed. God gave me that revelation here recently. Hallelujah. You're sowing it. Some of you may have to mail it. P.O. Box 11507, Jacksonville, Florida, 32239. Yes, I have a birthday coming up. Yes, they're going to want you to honor me. But I'm telling you, honoring God is more important than honoring me. Now, if you want to honor God by honoring me, that's fine. But I'm telling you, I'm honored by you honoring God. He's first. He's primary. I feel God's power. You're trusting him like never before. I'm challenged by the Lord. He's telling me, teach every Wednesday. Do a clarion call, everyone, and I've been doing it. And I've been going digging that word and find out truth so that we can get to another place in God. I love you so much. I'm praying for you. There are 300 of you throwing a $100 seed right now. You know what's stopping you? Greed. You know what got you having that little attitude and thinking, well, Jay, he's trying to take my money. Keep it. Don't give grudgingly nor of necessity. Keep it. God loves a cheerful giver. But I'm not ruled by man. Hallelujah. I'm sowing my $100. But I said, you have to mail it. P.O. Box 11507, Jacksonville, Florida, 32239. There are 10 of you giving $1,000 tonight. What? I'm telling you, there's one person on this call going to give $10,000. And I feel the anointing moving in my body so strong right now. I'm not telling what I think. Father, I thank you for the confirmation of the word through the presence of God that I feel in my body. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you rule and super rule and call all the shots in my life. And I thank you for deliverance from the spirit of man. Deliverance from the spirit of greed. In the name of Jesus. You are blessed. You are anointed. God's going to honor you today. I told you to continue to declare the blessings of God over your life. Decree it. Declare it. God wants you blessed this month and next month, November and December. Pray for me. Hallelujah. As I minister the word, I'll be preaching in Houston on Saturday. I'll be in Jacksonville Sunday morning at 10. Then I'll be in Charlotte at 3 p.m. All on my side. Charlotte at 3 p.m. And then on Tuesday, because I missed Bible study in Jacksonville, I will be in Bible study next Tuesday in Jacksonville. And then I'm going to Indianapolis, and I'll be there Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Hallelujah. Amen. But you are blessed, you are favored and anointed. There are 300 people going to the website now, and it's on $100 because you are not in debt to the spirit of greed. You're not his servant. See, the spirit of greed needs servant. And it's greed got you saying, don't you give that money. You need that $100. You better not do that. That's greed. And you're his servant. And he's talking to you. And some of you over there saying, yes, sir, master. Yes, sir, master. Yes, sir, master. Yes, sir, master. I do what you say. Yes, sir, master. I go where you tell me. Yes, sir, master. Because you're a servant of the spirit of greed. I feel, when I tell y'all, what I'm preaching is God, and I feel the anointing on it. You missing church. Your man of God is making clarion calls and making solemn assemblies. You don't let no prophet of God give you, call you Thomas up, you had to work. Have you lost your mind? The blessing of God got you that job where you working at. Any opportunity you have came from God, and you're missing church for a job? Spirit of greed got you. Don't get mad at me. Get free. Don't get an attitude. Let this word find you. And the next time you in church, get on that altar. Before church start, go on that altar and say, God, I'm sorry. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. His name is jealous. No amen. No shouting, huh? No speaking in tongues. No bucking eye. No screaming. If I told you I had $1 billion waiting on you somewhere, you would not tell me you got a job and you couldn't make it. You find it and you get there. The word of a prophet is worth more than billions. There's a blessing in your obedience. Telling y'all what works if you work it. Stop compromising. Stop being a servant to the spirit of greed. It's the truth anyway. You're going to the website, briancarn.com, briancarn.org. You're sowing 100. You're sowing 500. You're sowing 1,000. Somebody on this line is giving $10,000 tonight. Hallelujah. Halaba sokola mandala kia la 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 ba shande. Somebody is being free from the spirit of man. If you didn't get a chance to sow your $20 seed to $ PBCJR, you are at liberty to do that. God bless. But I'm hanging up now. I love you. I'm praying for you. We're sowing our seed. If you're mailing it, that's P.O. Box 11507, Jacksonville, Florida, 32239. You are blessed. You are favored. You are anointed. And this is going to be the greatest season of your life. You are blessed.
more grace. Shata, put it.
Paid in full. In the name of Jesus. Hotolo koshande. Yebo koshabanda labasaya. I'll be sowing it because I need too much. I told you. I don't care if it's your last 108. I don't care if you got to sow from your credit card. I mean what I'm saying. Somebody said, well, why would you sow from your credit card? The same reason why God told that woman to go borrow some vessels. She was already in debt. And the man of God said, go borrow. Because whenever you get an instruction, your breakthrough is in your obedience. Go borrow some vessels, not a few. There are 9 people on this call who are going to give $1,018.25. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you who are sowing $118.25. Kebo, Shobande, Kielabandalo Bobibiosia. Hundreds of you are doing it. At briancarn.com, briancarn.org, you're sowing that seed. And you're going, and some of you are mailing it. I'm doing it everywhere. I want money in the mail. I want money in my accounts. Anywhere I can get money, I need it. Helebo Shakalama. I beseech thee, O Lord, send now prosperity to every individual under the sound of my voice. May they never know lack. Don't you get discouraged. Well, prophet, I've given before and did nothing happen. Give again. The Bible says, give in the morning, give in the evening. Why? You don't know which one. Ho! Ho mande! Halabasandolo kukotoloboku shalamande. I'm excited about what God is doing. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He is God. Ah! And beside him, there is none other. Ale, ale beso, ole besi alabasa, sandale koshi telemando lohoba. I'm over my time. It's 8:20. You are blessed. You are knowing it. Speak to your money. Speak to your bills. Speak to your car. Command it to be paid off. You don't got to have no 30-year mortgage. That was a word. It was an agreement that you signed, which are words. Let us formulate words. Guess what? Speak another word that it ain't going to take you 30 years. It'll take you 5. Speak the word that all the money you need for the closing costs of your house will come now. Remove delay and command your increase to come in out. Don't you get discouraged. Paul Crouch needed $50,000 to own a Trinity Broadcasting Network. He needed $50,000 before. Oh, my God. He needed $50,000 before TBN had the possibility of being turned over to a secular station. $50,000, and he needed it by that night. He didn't have it. But a man turned in the way he was, had a $50,000 cash check, was headed to go buy a yacht. God interrupted that man and made him bring that money to Paul Crouch. I will cause men to give unto your bosom, Brian Carn. I will cause men to give unto your bosom, Kingdom City Church. Put your name there. I will cause men to give unto your bosom. Call your name. Call the name of your business. Lambert's, First Choice Hire. I will cause men to give unto your bosom. Andrea Carn, come on here. I will cause men to give unto your bosom Philip Kelly, Johnny Butler, Homama Shekele Mondo, Ronnie Bryant, Yelemo, Sikalamandi Asha, Ye Je Je Cha G Jojo Bokocha, Lemandele Ka Jalabanso, Olomosie, Elemandala Koshaba. I will cause men to give unto your bosom. Ah, telling you what I know in the spirit. Somebody on this call is going to be a millionaire before this year is out. So, give like never before. Ain't holding back. God say, don't worry about the people talking about you because you talk about money. He said it was going to come with persecution. Didn't nobody talk about you while you was broke? They talking about you because you got something. Come on here. And if they talk about you while you're broke, let them talk about you with money. Let them care nothing about these haters. Hey, how about Shande? I feel God. Come on here. I'm stirring up. Sow your seed of $118.25. Sow it online. Mail it. I'll just share with you some prophetic words that God gave me, and I'm going to get on off of here. The Lord said to me that a famous boxer is going to be found guilty in time of a future crime. He told me a major political figure, president, is going to have a stroke, but it's not in the immediate system season, but it's very soon. It's like in the next couple of years. The Bible said a famous bodybuilder is going to have a near-death encounter. He said Elon Musk is going to purchase another major company, and it's going to create a major stir again in this decade. Some are going to call it a monopoly. A monopoly. God said AI technology is about to take over America going into the 2030s. You that like to invest, you better invest in AI. I see an aquatic SUV coming to America. I don't even know what that means, but he said an aquatic SUV. He said shopping centers are going to close down and virtual stores are about to take over. You that want to do in online stores, that's where the money is going to be in the next 5 years, more than ever. God said this winter is going to be very unusual. It's going to be a unique manifestation of the global change. The Lord showed me a famous leader is going to have a fall down a stairwell. I see a famous leader. It's going to be all over the news. A famous leader had a fall down a stairwell, and everybody's going to see it. And it's going to be a symbolic sign of what's coming for America. I'm telling you, get ready to see a lot of talks about UFOs. I told y'all that. And God said a new political voice is going to take presence before the democratic nation, shifting and changing what was expected to be chosen. A new political voice is going to take presence before the democratic nation, shifting and changing what was expected to be chosen. I see European protests, and I see major changes coming to Uber and rideshare companies, and I'm seeing Uber on the headlines for the changes that are coming. There is a basketball player either going to be murdered or accused of murder. I see that very strong. Take it to the bank. And I see Seattle all over the news. Seattle is all over the news. Something is stirring up in Seattle, and Seattle is all over the news. Pray for Washington. Seattle is all over the news. The state of Washington, Seattle is all over the news. You are blessed. If you don't sow into this, you deserve to be broke. And I don't mean that in an arrogant or demeaning way. Find you $118.25 and sow it. I'm telling you to do what the woman did. Go borrow some vessels. If I told you that if you brought me $500, I would give you $5 billion, you would find it. The only thing stopping you from finding the 500 is you don't believe you're going to get the 5 billion. God told me tonight to declare over these people who are under the sound of my voice, there are hundreds of you on this call, that you are getting ready to walk in a surplus of increase. Enough to leave for your children and your children's children. Mele Kosalanda. Sow your seed at briancarn.com, briancarn.org. That's $118.25. You can sow it in the mail, P.O. Box 11507, Jacksonville, Florida 32239. Speak to your bills, speak to your money, speak it and declare it for the next 30 days. And watch the testimony. Watch all these checks that start coming in the mail. Watch all the stuff you hear. A sister texted me last night about a $115,000 student loan. One of the saints at the Charlotte Church, $115,000 student loan. I think that's what she told me. That God canceled. Amen. You're next. You're next. Your time is now. God said he ain't got nothing on back order. He waiting on you to set the delivery date. Set it now. Sow your seed. And like I said, I challenge every person on this line to sow a $20 seed to the man of God when we first got on here. Guess what? It's going to cause fruit to come into your logos. And what is logos there, Prophet Khan? I'm glad you asked. A word uttered by a living voice. My God, your seed amplifies your voice. When you have seed in the ground, it amplifies your voice. Now sow your seed in faith and watch what God is about to do. And there will be testimony after testimony after testimony of increase. You are blessed. You are favored. You are anointed. I got to sow into my pastor. I got to sow into the church, KCC, because God said, if you need in your house, sow into my house. That's why I'm doing it. Don't let nothing stop you from giving this seed. You determine what you need based on the seed you put in the ground. You are blessed. I love you. More grace. Kushababa.